on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day, rugby league fans. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show, covering the world of rugby league over the next hour. As always, Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the little general, Luke Robinson, is in the building. Hey, boys.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Robert. Good evening.
Good evening, Rob.
You know, Luke, we've got to get more energy out of you from the very kick-go. Every single time, I think we just got to get more juice out of you. Now, the Bulls kicked off their home campaign for the Championship Shield last weekend against Halifax up at the Providence Stadium with a win. So to celebrate, we're giving away another family pass to this Sunday's match against Oldham this Sunday, like I said before. So get on the website, www.pulse1.co.uk, and click on the win tab. You got to be in to win it. So sit back and strap in. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
Robbo, you've been getting your Man of Steel shirt sold out and about. I understand you've been getting it out there.
It's not the Man of Steel.
Not the Man of Steel. Man of Tin.
Iron Man. Iron or Tin Man, whichever way you want to go. I've been going that long now, I can say.
Now, one of our mates, a mate of the show, Lee Gilmore, you happened across him on, was it last Saturday afternoon, when you were shifting some of the shirts up at Shawcross?
Yeah, they asked me to go down and present, you know, some of the trophies out, a bit of a tournament going on. I said, fair enough.
But let's be honest, you were just there selling shirts, weren't you?
My wife was selling shirts, yeah. While I was shaking hands.
I love
hands,
your wife.
I just looked over the corner of my eye and saw... I thought, can't possibly be. It looked like Lethal Lee Gilmore.
The badly ill.
Just warming up. Just slightly greyer and about 3 stone lighter than when he played. I thought, went running over, had a quick chat with him. He said,
oh, Robbo, quickly, just were you telling people what to do?
At this moment in time, he was
a finger out.
No, he was a superstar. They were all warming up in a huddle. He took himself about 50 metres away. We're doing his own thing. But everyone, they're all obviously following the conditioner or whatever it is, the coach. He was just doing his own.
He's doing his dynamic flexes. He's doing all his full professional. This is our Super League former Great Britain international does it.
I had a bit of a giggle with him. Graham Holm there as well. His lad were playing, so we had a bit of a giggle. Oh, don't be getting any fisticuffs, Gilly, and all that. He started shadow boxing, just pretending to knock a few blokes out there at the end. Went, yeah, I'm not a fighter, me. Anyway, I turned around, did the presentation. Turned around 20 minutes later. Where's Gilly gone? Someone said to me, he's just kicked somebody in the head and got sent off.
Well, actually, the official content in the one of the trade rags says contact with the head, but it doesn't say exactly what. But it said Gilmore sees red, but leads the Sharks to victory.
Oh, inspiring. He looked good, mate.
He inspired.
Do you know
them.
What? In that little frail body, he had some nice little touches, little tip-ons. He looked nice.
As athletes go, though, come on, Leon. He's not the most. He's never had the most sort of Adonis physique. Not chipped.
No. Oh, no, he's what you'd one of them guys that have got mong strength, hasn't he? Yeah. Like, he's quite unassuming. He can run, but he couldn't, in a wrestle, he could wrestle Fielding.
Well,
it was an
18 stone,
muscle bound freak of nature.
Freak of nature.
Gilly could wrestle him and do him.
But what did Gilly used to call himself?
The Batley Eel. The Batley Eel, because he was just so slippery.
You couldn't get him in a lot. That was his claim to fame around there.
He used to have big bat wings and he had good lats. Yeah. A good lat spray.
He used to strut about the gym holding.
But he killed Fielding because, you know, Fielding liked to be the most dominant male in the house, didn't he?
Yeah.
He liked to walk around letting everybody know that he could beat you up. So when Gilly used to do it, he'd be like, couldn't handle it, could he?
No.
Fielding had a go all the time.
Fielding did a wrestle session at my local amateur club not long ago. And they said the floodlights were on, and out of the darkness just came Fielding, and all he had on was skins top and a skins bottom, and some massive big black boots that were like back from 1970. And they said he just smashed every one of them.
He used to kill me at training, but like he'd be like a seasoned pro playing for Great Britain, absolutely destroying like Aussies and that on his own, and then he'd pull like an 18-year-old kid out and say, come on, wrestle with me. And he'd get him to like run at him and he'd just like smash him. He'd give a whiplash and the heads would jolt back. And he'd just grapple and think, Stu, leave the parking alone.
He used to break people.
He used to kill them.
I think Sam Burgess can actually claim a lot of his fame of how hard he is, because he used to be one of those kids.
Did he? He used to rattle Sam as well?
Oh, yeah. He used to be all over Sam, because Sam was obviously a kid with some talent, never used to back down, used to run at Stu with all he's got, so Stu used to bang him. But, you know, the thing that used to get me with Stu, though, is captain's knock. You know, the day before you actually play, you're 17, take the field to run through. Stu would be flying through at 110%, taking out halfbacks and killing people.
Killed me, that was an halfback. Killed me.
You have just reminded me of England 2010 when I played with him. Him, captain's run, he's supposed to be taking it down easy. He went in and shot Doug Griffin through the knees and nearly bust his knees. Same team. Next minute, they started having a scrap. They're rolling
the day before.
Next minute, they walked off.
Well, Donald Griffin doesn't back down, does he?
No, he didn't back down.
He likes a scrap, doesn't he?
He does, but you're looking at Stu thinking, you know, please don't do this, Griff, like, you know. So anyway, I'm on the bench with him, so it went on. The rest of the lads are obviously doing the captain's run, and for 20 minutes, Stu and Griff are just arguing back at post, saying, right, we'll forget it, but don't you do it again to me. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll forget. Well, don't you do it again to me. And it was that same conversation for about 20 minutes.
You just imagine the conversation. Two front rows going head-to-head. It's surprising both of them aren't Super League coaches. That's the normal trend. Actually, no, you're bucking the normal trend. Robbo, Giants bounce back with a massive win this weekend against Featherstone. Release the pressure valve a little bit?
A little bit. I don't think, you know, it's unexpected, isn't it?
It has to have released the pressure. Because you didn't just beat them, you pumped them.
The problem is I think everyone expected us to. Mm-hmm. And if I'm being brutally honest, when I was looking at Featherstone, they wasn't great. They caused us some problems. They made it difficult in patches, but let's be fair, we should be beating teams like that. Mm-hmm. It's obviously good for the confidence that we're putting a little bit nicer touches together, but we understand that we still need to play a lot better if we are going to get anything over on the other sides as well.
Okay, Saturday afternoon, did we see the outcome of Salford and Lee Centurions? I mean, that was one that a lot of people were interested in seeing how Lee was going to actually play against their first Super League competition.
I don't think this result was surprising, though, Robert. I think Lee's squad is a Super League material, made of Super League players.
There's a lot of former internationals in that team.
I mean, you've got players like Willie Tonga, yeah. Gareth Hawk, René Mateur.
Mickey Iam.
Fui Fui Moi Moi.
They're all ex-internationals who are, you know, still decent.
For the big three, Australian international, New Zealand internationals, Great Britain internationals, yeah.
You know, so there's players that have won a lot of trophies in that team, and I think if Lee are ever going to do anything to get into Super League, I think this is their season.
Well, does that make Huddersfield nervous then? Taking into account that you guys lost to Salford the week before.
Yeah, I think obviously it puts under pressure. That were a game we had to win, you know, to put ourselves in a more comfortable situation. Now
Nobody wants to be in that four and five game. I've got to admit, with the Bulls last year, it was a horrible week. Just the anxiety that was created. I mean, and I wasn't even playing. This is just someone that works up at the club. The anxiety that's created, and it must be terrible for the coaches as well as the players.
You want to blitz your way out of this middle east and just go hard as you can and get as many victories as you can and get yourself out of it as quickly as possible.
At the same time, good signs for you is that I don't think Leeds and Hull KR were that impressive, were they? I know Brian Matt, I've read a few quotes from Brian Matt saying that he wasn't too impressed with the way Leeds went. I think it was quite a close game. So it's not like any team's completely dominating.
I think this is what the Rugby League are trying to create. We want a system where when we go down, it's this middle age. You don't actually know who's going to come up and who's going down. And the way Lee are playing at the moment, they're making it like that.
Now, take into account that Salford, at the same time, they got over the try line four times, but weren't able to put the ball down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were a really, really fortunate try. Did you see try by McNally?
Yeah.
They just kicked it. I think it bounced off... Louis hands or Louis head and straight into his hand scored, and that you know, they're the difference in games. But you know, 9 times out of 10 in a rugby league game, the side that wins deserves to win.
No, yeah.
It's not football where you can get a lucky goal. You know, there's an 80 minute period that you have to be dominant enough to win games. So you know, Lee will probably deserve to win if they did win.
Yeah, I got to say that. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll just discuss what went on up in the playoffs in regards to the League Leaders' Shield and the Super 8s. And we'll also be looking at more of the other hot topics around the world of rugby league. So stay with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
You're welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We're talking nothing but rugby league for the rest of the hour, and we're also giving away a family pass to this weekend's match between Bulls and Oldham up at the Providence Stadium. So just get on Pulse One website at pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab and leave your name, and I think we'll pick the winner come lunchtime Friday, around about midday on Friday. All right, just before we move on to some of the other hot topics from around the world, I just wanted to talk about the League Leaders' Shield and talk about the Super 8s right at the top there. Leon, you guys got back to winning ways with a win against Widnes. Interesting, Widnes come out to say, at this point in time, they're sitting on 20 points. They're a long way off getting into their top four. St. Helens are on 32 points. I think they're mathematically out of it now with only five games left to play.
Widnes are out of it.
Widnes are out of
it. Yeah, it's a little bit similar to where we were last year.
Yeah, you were feeling the same sort of...
we felt the same way.
Same way about how they're feeling right now. They're saying that the point system should either go back to zero. I think Scotty Moore suggested a 8-7-6-5-4 point system where it brings it a little bit closer, makes it a little bit more competitive for all the teams that are there or thereabouts. So come on, boys, give me your insight into what you think about the system right now with five games to play and these Super 8 playoffs.
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I just think it's probably difference of opinions and what people think. At the end of the day, and when it's all said and done, if you win as many games as the games that you're given, then your points will reflect a good chance of winning the competition. Mm-hmm. All FC have done well this year. We're not sat moaning about it because we win more game and we're guaranteed a chance at a playoff game for a grand final. So basically, it's down to yourselves as a team. If you win your games, you will be in position to get to a grand final. But there's also a lot to take into account where, like, if you get injuries and you're having a poor and a form at the start of the season, you get injuries, you get them players back. By the back end of the season, you've got no chance of maybe making them big games.
Robert, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, Widnes and other clubs have come out and said there's nothing to play for. I do understand what Leon's saying regarding... There were a lot of excitement and a bit of more, I suppose, anxiety and nervousness just earlier on in the year. But I just think we're rewarding mediocrity, really. If we just say to someone, you can come eight like Leeds used to do, get loads of players back, or just go on a run at the last minute, they can win. I just think it'd be a disjustice to Warrington and Hull, who've done that well this year.
Let's have a look at the leaderboard. Hull FC are on 36 points. Warrington Wolves are on 35, Wigan Warriors on 34, St. Helens on 32. Incredibly tight at the top of that table. And obviously all four of these teams are juxtaposing, trying to get themselves into the best position possible for these playoffs. Just behind them, though, Catalan Dragons are two wins off St. Helens, so they're on 28 points. Castleford Tigers are on 25, and we all know that they're put forward their response. They really are going to put a lot of pressure on. They had a win against Wigan, a great win at home against Wigan on the weekend. So they're looking like they're staying true to their word. But there really is only two teams that are in no man's land, and that's Widnes Vikings and Wakefield Wildcats. In this regard, if we were looking at the NRL, obviously the Australian competition, which is a franchise system. They've got 16 teams in their competition. At this point now, there's way more than just two teams that are in no man's land. There's a handful of teams that are battling out for the wooden spoon, and they're trying to make a competition out of this. Whereas yet, because of the four Super League teams that have gone down into the Super 8 qualifiers, there's everything to play for. And this is the concept of what the new system was supposed to do. Every minute matters.
And I like that. I don't mind the system. I just think as a nation, but it's Europe, isn't it? As a competition, what we need to do is we need to probably, them two teams need to be slightly better to make the Super 8s a bit of a more interesting competition. Mm-hmm. It's not Warrington, Wigan's, Hull's fault that them two teams have just snuck in, but look, it's exciting in the middle eights and very nerve-wracking, and there's a lot of tension going on. And I think there will be later on in the year, in the next probably... the next three or four games on that, who gets in that top four?
The reality is you probably, if you look at it, you should say, well, actually, if Widnes and Wakefield had played harder and won four more games, they'd be on 28 points with Catalan Dragons just outside the top four, and it would be game on for absolutely everyone. And I think that is where as a sport we want to be working towards, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not the city.
But it never get, never is going to be. I mean, I think last year we saw there were three or four. It was three teams that were sitting in no man's land with Hull FC. So Hull FC being a part of it.
So it's getting better, isn't it?
Well, let me throw another question. Just let's have a look at the team. So Widnes and Wakefield, five games. They can't make it because that'll only take them up to 30 points. Castleford Tigers on 25 points. Couple of big scalps. Hull FC 2 weeks ago in the opening round of the Super 8 qualifiers. Last week, Wigan. Can they realistically put a push on for these games?
I'm going to look at it from a little bit of a different point and a little different angle, Robert. Over the last 2 years, or maybe the last 3 years, Darryl Powell has gone from coaching Featherstone to getting a team that's probably don't spend nowhere near as much as the other clubs around them where they're finishing in the league table are spending. Yet it's producing players who are up for like Man of Steels, players who are playing the best rugby. The team's finished, what, third last year or something?
Yep.
It's taken them to Wembley.
Top try scorer in the competition.
How much more does he have to do before he kind of gets England manager because or England coach? Because he can't be far off the best English coach we've got at the moment.
He was my assistant in 2011 with England. So he's been in and around it, and I'm with Leon. He's when he had that really good year, his team got dismantled. We took Chubbs, Craig Huber, Jamie Ellis, Sneed went, Darryl Clark, the Man of Steel went. The team just got ripped apart.
Dismantled.
And he brought players in from London, a little bit of nomad, players that had just been bouncing around from club to club. All of a sudden he made them not only Super League players, but top four Super League players, which... I think it's testament
taken,
to his coaching.
It's taken Luke Gayle to one of the best players in the competition.
Yeah.
Anyway, I seen Gayle at Bradford and I remember people asked me if I rated him. I said, yeah, I rate him. He's good. He's a good player. But he's gone from a good player into a very good player and should be basically, well, he should be playing for England this year at half-back between them, him and maybe Sneed. So it's not also, it's not, you know, it's not just what he's doing with the team. It's what he's doing with individual players. And I think it's time, you know, at some point he should get some recognition.
Do you hear it?
Also, players like Dennis Alamona, he's completely ripped the competition to bits.
I know.
He's gone from nowhere into the one of the best
ten
best wingers in the competition.
Between him and the next man.
And is he only 22?
Yeah,
I found that out under the day.
He's crazy. That athleticism is absolutely brilliant. He's an entertaining player to watch.
This is good, though. This is what we want to see. We've got Johnston at Wakefield, who, you know, he's not at Wigan or a Leeds or a Saints. He's at a different club that's helping them. You know, a big profile player playing very good rugby, scoring lots of tries, that's not within your standard big four club.
I just thought my fear that really, really riles me is that as soon as a player comes as a bit of an unknown for a so-called lower club, he gets cherry-picked by Wigan, Saints, Leeds, Warrington. That's what normally happens. Moon, Tautai, all them players that just have one good season, so hopefully they can keep hold of Dennis Solomon, and Wakefield obviously going to try and keep hold of Johnson.
All right. Well, you've heard it from Robbo and Leon. They've sacked super coach Wayne Bennett from the England job and one of the replacements.
Powell for England.
Start the campaign. The campaign started here. What's up next? Jared Hayne. The Hayne created pain.
The Hayne trim.
For West Tigers. Mate, he's only been back in the game 2 weeks. He actually had an outstanding game against New Zealand Warriors last week, even though they came away with a loss for Gold Coast Titans. But this week he played once again out of his skin, set up a big break, which led to a try. But when it came down to it, you need a man that can step up.
Clutch
come
player.
Up with that clutch play.
Clutch play.
And, you know, come up with that Hail Mary at the right time, and he does that. Only a few seconds to go in the game, drop kick, 18 points apiece, and he dropped goals. What was brilliant, though, he was brought up. Was it Minto? Is it Hinto? Minto?
Minnow, mate. Minnow.
Minnow?
That's how they pronounce it.
Which
Minto.
Is only a couple of kilometres away from where they were playing, the Campbelltown Sports Stadium. So that's West Tigers' home grounds. Jared Hayne's playing for the Gold Coast Titans. And he's nailed that drop kick. But then he's just stood there with his arms out wide as all his teammates are running towards him going, "This is my house. This is my house." And there's very few players that can say stuff like that and get away with it. You know, it's a type of Michael Jordan-esque type of statement to make and say, I am the man.
I'm the big dog. Woof, woof.
I'm sure I've seen you do that a few times, Leon. Walk around in the Challenge Cup. This is my competition.
I just do that. Oh, when I look at myself in the mirror. This is my house. Oh, yeah, it is. And then you, actually, it is my house.
And then your wife walks in and you go, oh, no, sorry.
It's ours, babe. It's ours. I said, honestly, it's our house.
And she goes, no, you're wrong. It's mine. There's no hours about it. How far can Jared Hayne go in regards to coming back into the sport? We've talked about other players coming back from rugby union and that type of thing, and they've just never been the same. But how far do you think Jared Hayne can go? There was talk about him not actually joining the NRL until the following season.
Robert, I've just got a text message from my wife saying, your house? Question mark, question mark, question mark. I'm sorry, Carly. I'm really sorry. It's our house, babe.
It's not our house either. I'm telling her, it's her
house.
Oh,
sorry, it's her house. Yeah, it's your house.
No.
Yeah, it's yours. You can have it.
Understand your place, mate.
I know. I think we said, Robert, didn't we? We said last week, the guys, the level that he's been training at has kept him in shape. It's kept him as an athlete. And I think there were no doubt from any of us in here that we knew he'd come back and do well. His preparation with the way he's been training, the people he's been training with, the level of intensity that he's been training at. He's never going to lose his rugby skills. It's just about your body. You know, can you keep your body in good tune? And I don't think there's any doubt in that.
Yeah, we hate guys like that. Just naturals. All right, we're going to take a break now. We'll be back and we'll be discussing Dave Taylor pleading guilty to cocaine possession, as well as looking at some of the informed players from around the competition for this year's Man of Steel. All that and more after the break. Stay with us.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Kia ora, Robbie Hunter Paul here, and I'm with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the little General Luke Robinson, and we're giving away a family pass to the Bulls versus Oldham Championship Shield match up at the Providence Stadium, 3 p.m. kickoff this Sunday. Just go to the pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab and see if you can be lucky enough to pick up the family pass. Also, we'll be making the draw at lunchtime on Friday.
Rob, have I got a chance to just jump in a second?
Yeah, of course you have. Mikasa Sukasa, brother.
Okay, brother. I just wanted to a little bit of news that we've not covered. Elliot Whitehead signing a new 2-year deal for Canberra Raiders. Obviously, being one of my good friends and a Bradford lad, I'd like to say congratulations to him, even though I don't know he won't be listening, but I think he's gone out there, a bit of an unknown name, and absolutely destroyed the league. And then he celebrated his new contract by having a storming game against Melbourne, setting up the first try, which is the quickest try in the NRL this season. And I'm just really, really proud and pleased for him that he's gone out there and done so well for a Bradford lad. So well done, Smeller.
Well done, Elliot. Absolutely brilliant. Round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. The one thing I've got to say though, Leon.
Go on.
It's Canberra.
I know, but so
why
what?
Go to Australia to live in the middle of nowhere?
We've said
no
this before,
beaches,
Robert. We've said
no
this before.
Sun. It's the coldest place on the in the country.
All right, okay. We've got Elliot Whitehead and we've got
Josh Hodgson.
Both from one's from Hull, one's from Bradford. Gone to live in Australia. Do you think they can't move out of Bradford or Hull? It's not like they've gone from bleeding Bondi Beach or wherever you want to say.
Yeah, but you
it. Look they've
at
gone
them.
From Bradford and Hull.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean. They must have done their homework beforehand. You're looking at the best boys. They're all over the paparazzi magazines, all over the glamorous lifestyle, living on Bondi Beach, catching brilliant tans. Their tans are nearly as good as Robbo's.
Maybe it were about the RL. Maybe like they're thinking, right, when I go to this team, because it's got a lot of potential, and, you know, Hodgson's doing well, I can go and do well. I might want to go to a team that's going to do
more
well.
More about rugby league than lifestyle.
Yeah, correct.
Hey? What do you reckon that is?
No, you know, they might have been offered 10 times as much money to go there.
That's always nice.
Yeah, let's be fair.
But Iman Hodgson have killed it this year, and I think it's brilliant for unknown names that are coming from England and killing it. Well done.
Yeah, well done, well done. Round of applause. But stop it, Australia. Stop it, NRL. Stop taking all our talent. Go away. You've had enough now. You've got enough of them. Get lost. All right, actually, you guys know that next week's season, our birthday, our 2-year birthday
wow.
show. Leon, we didn't celebrate our first year birthday.
No.
We've gone straight from starting the show, right over top of it.
Is
to celebrating
long,
the
2 years.
Is this
I've been here now? 2 years?
2 years.
Well, well I know.
Long, long
I've taken
years.
It to the next level.
Well, what about you, Rob? How long have you been here?
I don't know, really. I have no idea. It's blurring into one.
We've got to cut out the 3 weeks.
We need a cake and everything then. Ewan is on.
Ewan's going to organise us a.
What we're going to do? We're going to have it. We need a big show. We need to, if we're going to build it up, then we need something special happening next week.
To be honest, we need to do some more photos as well, because I don't think Robbo's been on any photos. Last time we did photos, Rob Parker was on them.
Well, let's get some new photos. Yuck. Let's get a birthday cake. let's do something. Let's get some
Robbo
stories.
Says he's a lot better looking than Rob Parker.
Listen, if I'm not, I'll do something really. I'll do anything. I've got a little photo of him just above my fire, so my little lad don't go too close to it. I don't watch Goonies. Someone must say Goonies.
Goonies.
He embraces that, though. To be honest, though, back in the day with Rob Parker, we were on, where was it, Lanzarote or one of those team trips, and everyone, you had to do a team skit. You must have done that over the years.
Yeah, we got sort of copied Radford because we had Carl Harrison.
Ah,
I see. So we used to copy.
Well, I think in one of the years that Carl Harrison was there, the team skit that Rob Parker did, he dressed up as Shrek. Do you remember? And he even tied his little ears up, and he painted himself all green, and he looked exactly like him.
I played all my amateur rugby with Rob Parker from 14, 15.
And he's always been the same?
Exactly the same.
Good value. Hey, we should try and get Rob back in for the show.
Yeah, we could do with one. It's Rob, famous now, though. It's famous.
Well, that's infamous. Rob, we know you're listening, so we'll get you back into the show. And I think, actually, because it's the birthday show next week, we're also going to try and get in there. I think if you go on the win tab at pulse1.co.uk, you can win a couple of seats in the show next week.
Cool. Let's get Parker back for it. The reason why I'm stuttering
through all of this is because Ewan's just telling me this as we're on the go. So, a couple of fans, opportunity. You can win a Bulls family pass up to this weekend's game, and we'll put you in a draw to win a couple of seats to the Robbie Hunter Paul show this time next week for our birthday show. And we may have
information. We need Parker back for that show.
We need the Parker back. Well, he's very busy now, you know, famous lad that he is. All right, what did we say we're going to talk about? Oh, Dave Taylor has pleaded guilty to cocaine possession from 2014, and he will be sentenced at the end of this year, probably during the out of season. I think Robbo was asking the question, how's he got that during the out of the season? And I think he asked for it just so he didn't have to do preseason training.
Yeah,
we all hate preseason training, and that's something to...
You can just tell that Dave Taylor hates it more than anyone else, though, can't you?
The extremes that he's gone to.
You can just tell.
obviously, it's really not a joke, a laughing affair. But I thought we'd explore this. One of the areas you see this a lot in professional sports, especially professional team sports, where a lot of the athletes come from working class backgrounds. Down under, especially if you have a look at how they live the lifestyle down under, the working class backgrounds they come from, and all of a sudden they're being promoted into a high profiled bubble of extreme sort of celebrity from nothing. You go from nothing to being a celebrity on the front pages of the newspaper, on the front pages of the glossy magazines. Your profile goes through the roof. You get to the you get in VIP lines, and it kind of your world really changes, and I think there's an element of a player welfare that really needs to be spent on the development of those areas. You know, when kids transfer from being young academy players into the professional ranks, and their profiles all of a sudden go through the roof, they all of a sudden have access to excessive amounts of money and excessive amounts of celebrity and all the trappings that come with it. We have a duty as a sport to make sure that they understand there is the pitfalls that come with that. What are your thoughts on that, Robert?
Oh, look, it's very difficult. Like you say, there's two sides to it. At the end of the day, even though we're professional rugby players and role models, we're only human beings, and people make mistakes. And that's got to take, and obviously from a player's perspective, that's something you've got to take into account, that not everyone's perfect. They're going to make mistakes. You know, if it's a continuous mistake, they're continually making mistakes, and obviously it's got to be looked at. I do agree with you a little bit, Rob, though, because
I did say working class, but I don't just mean working class. You can come from any stratification of class and fall into the pitfalls of celebrity life.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I was 17-year-old when I was playing for Wigan. I remember, you know, after the first game, we all went to Andy Farrell arranged us to go to a bar, and it ran, and then I couldn't get served. But yeah, I'm hanging around with first team players playing for Wigan. I couldn't get served. I looked about 12, like. But do you know what I mean? You sort of thrust straight out of school, straight into that sort of the real world. We, you know, we're grown men, and there is a lot of pitfalls that go along with being a young kid, being on decent money. You know, there is obviously pitfalls, but I think as clubs that have been involved, you know, as you said about the welfare, I do think it'd be. I never had any guidance. Mm-hmm. I know the rugby league are trying to be trying to get better in the welfare
side
of things.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that they do better now, but I still think they move forward and still be better with it.
Leon, what's it like for you? Obviously, you played your first grade game when you were 17.
16,
sorry, against Salford. The Bulls were
massive.
Were big at that point. Huge. Obviously, you were a young kid coming into it. It was different for me because I was originally a Bradford Northern player, and I grew with the Bulls celebrity. You know, mm-hmm. with the Bulls, as the Bulls pro got higher, I actually grew with that. So I went from, you know, little old Bradford Northern, semi-professional club, to being this big entity that was the Bradford Bulls. But you came in at a very high-profile time for the club, but as a young fella, just basically, you know, from the local suburbs. What was that like? Was it strange? Was it?
It was crazy. It was crazy. Looking back at it now, I'm quite proud of myself the way I handled it, really, because it was a crazy, crazy time. But to me, that was just the norm. The Bulls were massive. When to play for the Bulls was a massive privilege. And you kind of, when you're young, you're very, I'm not too sure, impressionable. Like you think it's amazing you play for Bulls. And
you're like, like me around, yeah.
Yeah, well, but so it was just like, to me, it's dealing with the good times was good, but when you played bad, and when sorry, the first season I played and I got young player of the year, second year, they had all my expectation on me living in my hometown team around people that were supposed to be so-called friends who were rubbing your back up, telling you you're amazing, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. Next season didn't go brilliantly. It wasn't too bad, but it just wasn't as good. But then I felt the pressure. I think I was 18, and all of a sudden I've gone from places that I could walk into the pub and everybody would go, "Hey, Leon, how are you doing? You all right?" They were like, "What's going on this week? You didn't play very well, did you?"
Yeah,
handling that for me at that time, because in my career, my rugby career is from 10 up to 17, it's gone perfectly. I've been on like a massive skyrocket. Mm-hmm. But having to deal with going out into public places whilst your game wasn't going well was something that I'd never dealt with. I couldn't handle that. It was bad, very bad, really bad.
All right. Well, actually, I want to hear a little bit more about that. We're going to take another break now, and we'll be back. I think I still want to get your guys' opinions on who you think you're Man of Steel. Who are the hot runners for the Man of Steel? So give you guys an opportunity to think about that over the break. Okay, we'll be back after the break with all of that, plus more, and the top games for this upcoming round.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, and we are continuing on with the hottest topics in the sport, and we'll also take a look at the top gains of the third round of the Super 8s. Reminder, the Bulls are giving away a family pass to this weekend's Oldham game against Oldham up at the Providence Stadium, 3 p.m. kickoff. Just go on pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab. Anyone that goes into that prize also will be put into the draw to win a couple of seats on the birthday celebration of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show for next Wednesday night special show. We're just going to talk about, I want to get your guys' picks for this year's Man of Steel. I'm going to go with Leon, you go first, mate. Who do you think? Give me two players.
I'm struggling with two, Robert. I'm struggling with two because I don't watch one person all the time. What I can do is I'll give you one solid one.
One solid one?
And that's Scarifelis.
Yeah, but he's from your team.
No, it's not because he's from my team, though. It's just that I've seen him play, and I've watched his effect that he has on our team and on other teams, and watched him closely all season and watched every game, most games it's played in. And I think he's been outstanding. He's been... The thing, Man of Steel, what I don't like about the Man of Steel is I think the name of it can sometimes mean it's got to go to somebody who's really, really tough. And sometimes that means you lose out with the flary players, but sometimes your halfbacks, your wingers. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they may struggle getting this because the name of it, Man of Steel, someone who defends and plays every minute tough and is a really hard guy. So sometimes I'm not sure if the players like the really flary players, like maybe Dennis Alamona, who scored 10 more tries than the nearest winger in a team that's not a really top four team. So sometimes them players can get a little bit lost. But mm-hmm. for me, in our team, it's been Garofalo.
Leslie Vanicolo never ever picked up a Man of Steel.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
And pound for pound, probably the most influential player to have an impact on the outcome of a game. Even during those times where they won the Super League title. Mm-hmm. But come on, let's be honest. What are wingers? Wingers are nothing but
no,
a
I'm just giving my opinion on it. Sometimes I think, you know, them players still deserve a good chance again if they've been the most dominant player in the competition, even though they're not forward, you know, sometimes deserve it.
Robert, let's have a listen to I think we should touch on the system that's actually involved. But let's first have your picks, Robert. Who do you think are performing well?
What are the options? There's Houghton, Ellis, Denis Solomona. Who else has been thrown in there? Clark.
Daryl Clark, yeah.
Is that it? Do you know what? Before Leon even said anything, I was thinking in my mind the impact that Gareth Ellis does have on a game. Because it was noticeable when he was absent. And do you know what it was? We watched a video, obviously now I'm in the coaching staff, and I watched a video, and Gareth Ellis from A pressured the halfback, got off the lead, then got onto the lead, then got off the... He made a tackle, and it must have been 40 metres the other side of the field. And all, the rest of his players didn't mean to make a tackle, and I just thought... That's unbelievable, is that? And if you get it,
we played at Saints this season. I was commentating on game, I was watching. He made 5 big hits in a row. And I'm not talking tackles, I'm talking big shots. 5 tackles on the route. I can't even make 2 on bounce without getting tired.
Can't even make 1.
Can make 1, Rob. Rob legs. No word of a lie. And I've never seen this before. And I've watched a lot of rugby in my life. 5 big shots against Saints.
Head rockers.
Yeah, head rockers, where you whiplash. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
A full set.
Unbelievable. Who does that?
Stop running at him.
He's knocked me out as well as Gareth. He's knocked me out.
So, okay, hands down, Gareth Ellis is the favourite in this studio today. But I think that sort of leads on to that bigger question of the system. If Gareth Ellis started the year poorly, or let's say... The opposite, started the season brilliantly, but then fell away with injuries, or is just poor at this point in time. The selection criteria would probably go for whoever's hot at this point in time.
9 times out, that's what I don't like about the system, is that you just forget what happens earlier on in the year. That's one thing that I don't like.
Wait a minute, before you go any further, let me just explain what the system is. The system at this point in time is that the players will cast a vote.
And there's a select panel of all ex-players like Sculthorpe and them. Mm-hmm. The writers have a bit of a say, so it comes from three different...
Stakeholder groups.
Yep.
But the biggest stakeholder group is the players themselves. So past players, members of the media... And the players, current players playing in the Super League. I think you just have to play a single Super League match, or you have to be a part of the squad to get a vote. And am I right? Correct in thinking you still have a top 3, or is it just top 2?
Top 3.
This is why I don't like it. So one,
but you're not allowed to choose your own teammates.
No, you can't. You can't. Well, listen, this one, the problems. You forget what happens early on in the year, because people think about the middle and the end, the more important stage of the season. We should be giving points like the Dally M way, you get 3-2-1 for each match. A little bit like the Albert Goldthorpe, apart from just one reporter picking it. It should be. I love the fact they have ex-professionals like Wally Lewis, or, I don't know, you know, Ricky Stewart if he wasn't the coach, or someone like that picking it, so they've got an intense amount of knowledge. But another thing regarding the players, I like a player's player, but I also think there's a lot of political... sort of
massive
decisions that go with it. You know, I've been in a dressing room and gone, he's played really well this year, I'm going to give him, lads, to me. Don't give it him, he's an absolute
idiot,
for a better word. Or I've heard people go, well, say 2013, Bruffy's got more chance of winning it if we vote for so-and-so, another club.
They won't get voted by anyone else.
Yeah, you know, Joe Bloggs, because he's not going to get voted for it by anybody.
So you were suggesting before there's been someone's thrown up the idea of actually making those votes public.
Yeah, it was somebody, I thought it was you, Rob, to be fair, but no, somebody said to me this week that...
Sounds like a type of great idea that I would have, but no, I can't claim this one.
They were they're basically going to make each side's... decisions, you know, percentage-wise, say, you know, who went for what player. But I really like the fact that you have an ex-professional, great, judging on each individual. I like the Albert Goldthorpe buzzer, and I know that I'm going to get loads of bad write-ups for the under-19s now about my coaching ability. But rather than a reporter that's done 3 years at university and he's done a journalism degree, you actually have...
It needs to be a group. It needs to be a group of select people that actually have knowledge of the game.
Of course. And I just think, having past greats, you know, it can be Lee Crooks going to Wall. It can be somebody, you know, if Andy Gregory...
And it's an important accolade, isn't it? It's very well respected in the game... Leon, your thoughts on a shift in the system?
Well, I just think it should be a little bit more transparent. I think what Rob Ball is saying is a really, really good point. There's been people that have not won the Man of Steel on purely on how they carry on the field, not the performance. How they are as a person, if they're cocky, if they're a little bit arrogant, if they're a bit of a showboat, they have not won the Man of Steel on purely on that. And that's not what the Man of Steel is there for. It's to be purely on the, it should be on your talent.
On the talent.
On your talent, what you've contributed as a player. I believe one season Sam Tompkins didn't win it because, you know, he come across as a bit overconfident. He didn't win it because...
But he was but by he far, was,
in my eyes, he was Man of Steel by far.
I struggled to find a year that Sam Tompkins was playing in the competition after his breakthrough year, that he wasn't the number one player in the competition, mm-hmm. from a pure talent point of view.
Yeah, well, I know there were one season when he didn't win it, when he was quite obviously he should have done, mm-hmm. and that was purely on the fact that, you know, maybe sometimes, like, well, he might have carried on a little bit. No, we're not voting for him now, but we'll vote for so-and-so. And that's not basically the best player in the competition, is it?
He's got that out of his game, though, eh? He's got that their little character trait out of his game. People are a lot more warming to him now.
Yeah, but it's not about that, is it? I mean, if you're Ronaldo and you're doing the business. I mean, Ronaldo carries on like a right so-and-so, doesn't he? But he's the best player.
A bit like Tyson Fury.
But yeah. I in rugby league, because we're a working man's game, and everybody's like, oh, you can't carry on, and this and that. Look at him. Who does he think he is? We're not voting for him.
That's just what it's like, is it?
Yeah, it's not quite Northern, is it?
I love it. Okay. Before we finish the show, let's have a look at a couple of the games coming up this weekend. Hull FC against Catalans. I think that's the game on Thursday night, tomorrow night, you fellas.
Yeah, Thursday night.
Catalans really need to get some points here. They need to turn their season around.
Yeah, well, we talk about them every week, don't we? And it just seems like they've run out of gas, run out of steam. But knowing our luck, they'll turn proper fired up tomorrow. Catalans have got to find a reason to finish the season well. They had a good start to the season, disappointing middle, but we'll be expecting them to turn up all guns blazing tomorrow.
I think the big game of the round has got to be Wigan and St Helens.
Massive.
That's at Wigan?
Always the biggest game, isn't it? Always the biggest. I'd probably go, you got to go Wigan. I'd just go home advantage.
Leon?
Saints.
Saints are hot at the moment. And probably the other one, Warrington at home to Cass. Can Cass keep it going?
No, I think Warrington's going to win.
I'll go Caston.
Oh, actually, the round of the Super 8 qualifiers, Salford v Hull KR.
Salford at home.
Salford at home?
I'll go with Salford at home.
All right, boys. Well, that's it for this week. The hour certainly does go fast. A big thanks to you wherever you are listening tonight. Total Access is next here. So enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul. Thanks again.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.